Hello everyone, welcome to Bulbacast episode number 8. I am TSS Killer. We have a pretty good show for you tonight. Our cast tonight includes Archaic Bulbagard and Webmaster.
Hey everyone.
Hi, BMG Mod.
Hey guys.
And PPNC from the well-renowned Pokemon Palace Network.
Hey everyone, what's up?
Our topics of discussion tonight will be AG 169 and 170, which are the two Leela Battle Tower episodes. We also have a bunch of call-ins, and they are indeed going to be interesting. And let's move on to it right now.
Cut. Mm-hmm.
Yes, our first call-in today will be Argy.
Oh.
Hello, Argy. Welcome to Bulbacast episode number 8.
Oh, you can hear me. Oh, by the way, my name's pronounced RG.
RG, sorry. I'm sorry. Bah.
Hello, welcome.
Welcome, anyway. Alright, so RG. RG, what's your question this week?
I just wanted to talk about Bulba News asking for people's opinions on the Save Our Voice Actors campaign. Bulba News, we recently started something where we're taking people's opinions on anything involving Pokemon, and we'll publish them, you know, just get your voice heard, as long as it's well-written, everything. Pi started us off with an opinion on the Save Our Voice Actors campaign, the whole 4Kids Pokemon USA controversy, so we're asking for more opinions on that, like pro and con for the SOVA. It'd be interesting to get some opinions from people who don't want to save our voice actors, who want to see what the new voices are going to be like. People can go to Bulba News and go to the contact us section, and there are little guidelines there for submitting opinion pieces.
Well, what I could say about this is that Pokemon USA is obviously given showing a bad example here by changing the voice actors. I mean, obviously, this issue has been debated far too much to the point where I'm saying that during that whole special episode, all I'm going to do is watch 2 minutes of it and press the delete key. That is all I'm going to do, because there will be nothing that will replace the old voice actors. And
they've
done a great job. And
so for the special, I'm going to take it for what it is, a special. You know?
What bothers me,
you're
going to
look at
about
it as...
Yeah, they haven't actually confirmed that they're doing it for the whole series, have they?
No, they haven't. And
it's not decided who we're going to get for the 9th season, and that's the whole point behind the Silva campaign.
What bothers me about the whole thing is that all these people are complaining, like, before this happened, they were complaining, oh, 4Kids is just totally ruining this series, like, they're screwing up the voices, James's voice is too whiny, blah, blah, blah. Now they're like, no, please, please keep them. We want this, we want this.
Kind of reminds me of a Senate bill.
Flip-flop.
It's because they want the bad voices they know rather than the possibly even worse bad voices that they don't know.
That kind of reminds me of the immigration bill that's going through Congress. I mean, I'm not going to go deep into it, but it has the same structure to it, if you think about it.
The devil you know rather than the devil you don't.
Well, I got to say, personally, I like most of the voices. I've complained about them once or twice, but really, I think they're all quite good voices. And I have this to say, every time someone talks about the what quality we're going to be expecting from what everyone thinks that we're going to get behind these new voice actors, because I think there is some justification for assuming that these voice actors aren't going to be good, because, well, not to say that they're bad voice actors, we don't even know who they are, but the standard of quality is going to be how much they sound like the old voice actors, and with that standard of quality...
Not just sound.
Yeah, how much
feeling of the old character.
Well, yeah.
The old,
How convincingly they can make themselves sound like the old voice actors in both tone and feeling behind it and everything. And quite frankly, in the end, you just can't beat a person in sounding like themselves. So we want the best. And with this unless they change the standard quality, the best is the original voice actors.
Right. But really, if you go back to the original episodes of like Panto,
first eight or so,
it was the same voice actors, but the voices were very different then. I think if they're going to be,
they just change over time. People don't notice it because it's gradual.
Yeah,
well, this change will be a bit of a change over time, I think, because they are trying to imitate the voices, and they've obviously done a fairly good job of it. If they're ready to put it on TV and say yes, they're imitating the voices, it won't be that far removed, and you'll just get the same sort of overtime thing. It will be a bit sudden, but honestly, in the end, while all the rabid fans on the internet or like 15 plus are definitely going to notice, I don't think the kids who are the main target audience will really notice or care.
They'll notice.
That's what Nintendo's going to
do. I don't think so. I think they'll notice more.
Okay, if they don't, if they notice it, they're not going to care.
But I also have to counter your point that they are, that you think that just because they're going to be putting it up on the air, that we can put confidence in how much they're going to sound like the old voice actors, because quite frankly, this is mostly a test run, so we can't really expect that it's going to be good or bad. This is kind of their way of fishing for, this can be seen as their way of fishing for opinions, saying, what do you think? Is this okay? Is this not okay?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of
so this could,
like what they did with Tracy in the Orange Islands for Brock.
That they said, okay, well, there are some people complaining about Brock. Let's see if we can replace him. And then when they replaced him, people were like, oh my god, what are you doing? And so that's why we have Brock still.
I think what I'm going to notice the most is, like, all the characters of the day and, like, the random Pokemon and stuff. Because, like, for kids, they use the same group of voice actors, and you can recognize each person depending on what, like, random character they're doing. All the voice
characters
are basically the same.
But once
they're
again,
they're totally different now.
But once again, you have to consider the Japanese voice actors do the same thing. So you can't. So you can't exactly.
No. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that the set of voices will be different. I'm not criticizing.
Well, yeah, I know you're not criticizing it, but I'm saying that, you know, the Japanese do it the same way. So I'm saying it's a comparison.
It kind of rotates.
But the Japanese don't do it exactly the same way, though. You might have the same amount of voice actors who alternate those positions, but each of them can do a much wider variety of voices.
Yeah. We're not really worried about
this. They don't use the main voice actors for the characters of the day either in Japan. They only do it for
Pokemon.
That's true,
too.
They don't do it for the human.
We only care about the main characters anyways.
Well, sometimes it is true. Sometimes it is true because Rika Matsumoto has done a couple of filler characters during the AG season. And have
characters, there should be some characters that do come back, too. That was something that happened quite a bit in Johto, and it could happen quite a bit again. We don't know. And if it does happen...
I've just had a thought. Obviously, the dub voice actors up to this point have had understudies who've done their roles when they've been sick. Just like the Japanese actors have had, and we've had a few fairly famous ones of that. So, is it possible that the people doing these voices now are those same understudies?
It's entirely possible. Whether it is or not, we don't, like I said, we don't really know yet.
And that still doesn't really make it that
when
much
better.
When did
they add these understudies in the dub?
Yeah.
We wouldn't really know unless they publicize it.
They probably don't
but
have
every
any understudies.
No, every actor has an understudy. It's in movies, it's in Broadway productions, it's in voice artists.
Yeah,
you have to have an understudy.
Voice acting isn't that
just
complex.
Voice acting
is
a.
Perform at a certain time. They just go in and read some lines.
Yeah, we pick up.
You do have deadlines still.
Well, I know.
Trust me, voice acting is a lot more complex than it's given credit for. I mean, I've done radio ads, and you do have understudies. Even little 10-year-old freaking kids have understudies.
But even given
generally those 10-year-old understudies are the sons or daughters of guys working at the radio station who are pulled in at a moment's notice, but there are understudies.
But even given that, I can't recall any time ever hearing a temporary replacement, but even the supposed permanent replacements we've heard, like Nurse Joy and Officer Jenny and such, it's hard not to notice the difference. That doesn't really make that me much very comforted about this.
However, though, a 15-year-old person would actually notice a change, while maybe a five-year-old kid may not.
You're kind of. I think you guys aren't giving enough credit to little kids because started.
Well, the market is 6 to 11.
Exactly.
A 7-year-old will definitely notice and probably say something.
Yeah.
But will they care in the long term?
Do anything
term?
About will it? They no, because yeah, they feel they can't do anything. They'll tell mom or something. Hey, mom, they changed the voices. Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah,
that's
but
the word of, that's one of the reasons.
Stopping the show over an issue like this. That's all the marketers care
about. No, they're not
going
to stop. They won't.
Exactly. That's all the marketers care
the
about.
The hardcore fans, which us are included in, will do something, will say something, will support the FOGA campaign, for example, et cetera, because, well, we have the power to do so.
And that's actually one of the reasons why I want to try and get the word out, because I think that even though we kind of have the power to speak up, I want to extend that power to the people that they want to care more about, because that's
that
really screwed
to
up.
That needs to be brought home to a local level where
it's
you go
kind
to your
of
favorite toy store or your Pokemon supply area and you have
it's
your sort of like
fans sign a petition or some other thing.
Yeah, because
here's
it's kind of...
Here's a question for you.
Only way you're going to get to the younger ones.
Well, I was online at the same time that I was getting into Pokemon, but I was kind of a screwed up kid.
with younger kids, if we tell them, hey, they're changing the voices, are they gonna care? Like, they're gonna have to actually see the voices and hear the change before they say something, I think.
No,
up
not
to a certain
always.
Age, I think. Well, like 6-year-old. I don't know.
I mean, I've always kind of been considered mentally older than I actually am. Most people think I'm pulling their leg when I tell them online that I'm not under the age of 20. But I've always kind of felt the way that I do now about things, and I think that I would be just as upset about this when I first got into these. Well, I think I maybe I would be a little less won over to defend the voice actors just because the series would be younger, but quite frankly, I'd probably still care just as much as if I was younger than as I do now. The only difference is that I wouldn't think that I had the power to do anything, which again is why I want to get to the little kids, get them involved, because it's screwed up if you think about it. If what they care, the audience they care about is the younger audience, but the only audience that really has the power to say anything is the older audience. So they could make the series completely jump the shark and they wouldn't know how upset the fans are.
I
don't know.
Talk to the parents and get them to say, like, boycott the product.
Yes,
and,
that's
like,
a...
They won't buy their kids any more toys. Because it's all Pokemon USA now, so they're included in toys and stuff.
That is something that I'm doing. I'm trying to get it out to the parents, too, because they are basically the voices of their children. Unfortunately, there's less parents speaking up than older fans themselves, but... I'm hoping to get more. I see them every now and then. I jump on every chance I see to contact them.
If you could find parents who are also fans, there's your perfect.
Oh, yes. I found a few of those. They are awesome.
I just wanted to ask you, Pi, would you really boycott Pokemon products over this? Because that is what the company would care about. That if you're a little upset, but you're still buying your Pokemon stuff... They're not really going to care because over time it'll become less and less of an issue to you. But if you're going to actually boycott the things and try and incite other people to boycott, that is where they start taking notice.
And quite frankly, I think that indirectly I probably would. I mean, I will probably lose a lot of respect in the company if this falls through, and then I'll probably get... What I see most likely to happen is that I stop buying English products and start going to Japanese importation, which is just hurting, Pokemon USA, because that's a USA fan going to the source. They don't get any profit from that.
they won't care. They're a fully owned subsidiary. It doesn't affect their wages or anything.
But I probably will lose a lot of interest in the series. I would probably boycott it. I mean, I gotta say, I do. There's a part of me that...
It depends on how ruined it is.
No, I don't... It's... There's another issue here than just what the voice actors sound like. I mean, there is an issue here developing that of how much Pokemon USA cares about the fans that are devoted to them, that respect them, or if they're really just completely more interested in...
Most companies are only interested in that, and really that's all they should be interested in.
But
they're a statistic. If they only lose you and they gain X amount of profits by having a far less expenses on their voice actors, they don't care that they lost you.
But
if
however
many people, then they start caring.
That's the direct effect. But if they are this willing to just throw away what the fans care about, their respect, the faith, the everything, then they are indirectly hurting going to do more damage to the profits than good. And I'm just gonna lose so much respect in this series, and I will boycott it.
Okay.
I mean,
what they're gonna do to the script and see how 4Kids makes the opening theme songs. What are we going to get in terms of that?
Nobody knows.
We will get something better. Honestly, we will almost certainly get something better from Nintendo.
I agree.
What we're going to be getting is going to be from Taj Studios, which has done work on the dub so far. So that's one way in which we can't be certain that it's going to be that much better. And also, are we really going to be expecting treatment if they're not even willing to spend a little more to get the original voice actors?
It could also the issue with the voice actors is it has something to do with the unions. Maybe the voice actors belong to a certain union that won't.
No, they're independent.
They're independent.
As far as I
and
know.
There is a voice actors union, but most of the people, they're actually members of, I think, the Screen Actors Guild. It's the same union. But most of the members of the Pokemon voice cast either aren't a member of the guild or do it under their non-guild names. You can actually have a name you're registered in for the guild, and then you just use a pseudonym for when you're doing non-guild work.
Yeah, side jobs.
But it's just really that they're trying to see what they can get away with, because from what we've heard from the voice actors... The voice actors weren't even told about this until after the casting had never been decided. They couldn't say, oh, we're willing to work for less just to take this job or do any sort of offers like that. They're just saying, okay, we're not even going to consider you.
Yeah,
that's not fair.
That
and that's
Well, no, we also have to consider how long ago they started doing this whole special, because if it was done without 4Kids' knowledge and everything, it's quite likely that they simply wanted to make sure 4Kids were not going to be aware of Nintendo doing this.
Or influence it in any way.
Yeah, it seems like they really hit 4Kids withdrawing of the license pretty quickly and unexpectedly.
Well,
I don't think they informed 4Kids beforehand, all right, you're going to lose the license on this date. They just called them up and said, hey, we're taking the license back, bugger off.
Thank you.
Are you talking about the license for the merchandise or the anime? Because it's quite
life.
Because we heard about the losing of the merchandise license at first, and then we heard about the anime.
Pie. It's all the same license.
All right.
Yeah.
But
originally we thought it was separate, but it is all the same.
It is the same license. It's the right to use Pokemon name.
All right. So, anyway... Thanks, RG, for your
very
good points.
Controversial topic.
I think we're just gonna have a Bulbacast just on that special.
We've already had one.
We have one on it already. We're gonna do another one because it's so controversial.
We'll do one after the special and see what
That's what Bulbacast English Edition 2 was. It was mostly just one special on this.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we're gonna get a fan's impression and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
There we go.
Thanks, RG, for participating. We'll see you next time.
Yep, thanks.
All right,
bye-bye.
You're welcome. Goodbye. Okay. Let's go to our next caller then. Hobbs 2222. Let's get. Ding ding ding. Ding ding ding. Ringing. Hello, Hobbs. Welcome to Ballcast 8.
Hi.
And what might your question be this week?
Oh, no, I was just going to talk. Have you talked about the kind of the AG, of like the 169, 170?
Not yet.
We can start now.
I just have a quick question. It's like, is this Lila? Is Lila Lila? Like, does she have like some sort of connection, like some sort of psychic connection with her Pokemon or something?
Yeah.
Yes, she does. She has telepathy with a Pokemon.
Telepathy.
Jinx.
Yes.
Jinx. Anyway.
Yeah, because if you noticed over those past two episodes, she gave, of course, it's obvious that she gave her commands via telepathy, so.
Yeah, because I didn't, you know, see her talk or anything. So.
Well, I think that's also used to throw off her opponents too, because if you don't know, you don't know until last minute, the last second, really, when the Pokemon attacks. So.
That was shown in the episode. She needed to actually be able to see the Pokemon to do it. As soon as Pikachu screwed up the lights in the arena, she couldn't see, couldn't use it. She had to issue her attacks verbally, and she was a lot weaker trainer when that happened.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like the fact that, you know, Ash sort of lost on his first attempt, because I think the first, was it five, or all of the other battle frontier brains, he's kind of just done it in one try, and this one he sort of needs, you know, more than one attempt to actually go through.
Well, yeah, I think it's just due to the fact that I think the writers want to expand the series. I mean, it's obvious that they want to delay it, especially with this upcoming Deoxy special. I mean, they want to make it a special 1 hour. I mean, just a set of you know, the transition to Ranger.
And there was some character development, though.
Actually, I think the Deoxys thing is only a half hour ep.
No, it's not.
The other half hour ep is the movie preview.
If I recall correctly, I believe, didn't Tokyo Toshio have it as two shows? Or
yes.
Yes, I believe they did. So they're going to air
this. Yeah, but it could still be a preview on the second half hour. You know, like they did with.
Well, if it's a two-parter special, then you know it's going to.
Hurry on.
Very true.
And I think they also did that with the original Deoxys movie back when I was over in Japan.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was a half-hour ep and a half-hour movie preview then.
Mm. Like the making of or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, not exactly a making of it. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I think they brought
the movie
on Kabachana.
It's got this kind of scene, it's got this, we did this.
Yeah.
Go see it. Buy the DVD when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Back to the episodes, though. Mm-hmm. Did you know you catch the little scene where Ash kind of mentally hooked up with his Pokemon?
We could have the discussion right here, so we could save any other conversation that we have to do later, because we could kill two birds with one stone here. So anyway, my opinions on 169. Of course, everybody knows how of a stickler I am to background music, and for the first time in a very long time, as far as I can recall, they actually played the opening theme of Movie 3 at the end of that episode. I think it really fit that situation, because you had the whole transition where he lost, and, you know, it's kind of building up a climax for the next episode. Also, in the middle of the episode, Movie 6 version of Advance Adventure, instrumental. Also a very good scene with the whole Gyarados and other things. And in terms of 170, bringing back Battle Frontier, that was just great. I mean, I know they've used Battle Frontier to the ground in the past, like, 20 episodes, but still. It's a nice surprise when you have the opening change and then you have a song like that to really accentuate the battle.
Yeah, I kind of like that they use, like, you know, a kind of a different set of songs for like the different parts of the episodes.
And that's what really the dub hasn't been focusing on, because their music director probably has ADD or something, because he likes to change background musics every 5 seconds. And it really kills the moment. I mean, if you sit down and just watch a Japanese episode and you watch an English episode, you get distracted by all of this music in the dub. I mean, if you focus in and you don't have any background music, you could focus on what they're saying and you could feel like you're in a Zen state.
Yeah, well.
Because you could focus on what they're actually trying to say, even though you may not understand it. But still. Yeah.
There's a right time and a wrong time for background music.
Exactly, and dub does more wrong than right. So, can't really say anything else about it. I've already made my point. But in any case, back to 169, I think Fudine or Alakazam or whatever you want to call him, completely demolishing two of Satoshi's Pokemon. I really think that really shows how powerful telepathy is.
Mm. Psychic Pokemon have always been overpowered in the games, and this is just showing how powerful they should be in the anime.
I mean, if you take a look back at Kanto, episode 22, the first battle with Kadabra and Pikachu, you could see what...
Kadabra wiped the floor with Pikachu.
Yes. Literally wiped the floor.
They are strong.
Yeah, they are strong.
Thwam, thwam, thwam.
I'm surprised he got past them the second time. Mm.
Yeah, I think it's just by sheer luck. I think that's the whole thing. I mean, Fudine would have wiped the floor.
Well, I think Ash was more in tune with his Pokemon the second battle. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
That really made a difference.
I mean, now...
You saw that in the episode.
Yeah, in 170, you could see him getting closely connected to his Pokemon, really.
It really made
a difference.
It did. That's why he won the second battle.
Speaking of close connections... I don't think you can really discuss these episodes without mentioning the shipping.
Here we go.
Now, I don't really support this shipping, but I will admit... a lot of people have been calling it tower shipping at this point in time, but that name's already taken, so it's either going to be using that name, displacing the old one, or getting
ability
a new name.
Shipping?
That's been one suggestion, I think. Mm. I think that one might also be taken, too. Anyway, yes, there is hints from Rudy to Satoshi having feelings. She even went at the end. In the end, you couldn't read my feelings, could you? Nothing from Satoshi, as usual.
Of course.
Pretty much a dead end ship, but very interesting that they'd have another Frontier Brain fall for one of the main cast after we've already had the whole luck shipping, or however you want to call it, thing.
I don't know what it's called, but I gotta say I think this one's pretty cute, but. In general, it falls under what I think of Brock and Lucy. It's a good one-time ship. I'm not sure if I would really... I don't think I would really like it if it would continue. I just don't think that there's enough to support it there. But it is a very cute one-shot ship.
I think it's a one-way ship, if you want
to... Oh, yeah, a one-way ship. Those are also fun.
let's put it this way.
It has more evidence than advanced shipping.
Yes, there you go.
Ooh, that's going to get me blamed.
Oh,
let the flames come.
But
it was nice
and
right
there. It was. It was right there.
Now the page is going to be 10 pages long in the next Woo-hoo! 6 hours.
What do you bet that little bit will be?
Come on.
If Scott does that, I will have him smitten off of this earth and I'll have him destructificated. Okay.
I don't think he listens to the Bulbacast.
Oh, he listens.
He does. And,
Scott, you are officially destructificated if you do that.
No, Scott, get yourself a microphone because you do have an automatic invitation to any Bulbacast shipping special that we do.
and let me take you down.
Bring
like
it
a
on.
Bad, yeah, I'll take you down like a bad club.
Woo-hoo!
You're not the guy who wrote the general rebuttal of pallet shipping.
Oh, man.
Do you know what that was? Was that before your time?
I've heard of it, yes. I think so.
Punkish Jippers, 10,000 words.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
so anyway.
So, kind of going back to the psychic thing, though, I think it's kind of funny that they're almost starting to hint that Ash is going to become some sort of superhuman with the last movie, and now with him getting the faint beginnings of psychic powers, and I don't know, he's just becoming very, very less and less like a normal boy from Pallet Town as things go on.
Well, maybe they're moving him towards his mastership.
Maybe
they are moving towards replacing him.
Don't hint at that.
They can't make him a master without replacing him. He makes master, he completed everything, he becomes a side character who becomes like a mentor to the next main.
That would actually be an interesting series twist, but I don't see that happening.
I think the majority of fans would say that if Ash left, that would be the series jumping the Sharpedo, so to say.
Yeah, I have to agree with that one.
It would be the end of the series, and you would have a new series.
And then you're going to have 10,000 posts on jumptheshark.com.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo!
They're going to have a new
series. It's only Jump the Shark if it's done in a way that isn't believable.
Do you think that they're really going to be... I mean, I've thought, unless they spend a lot of time developing a really good ending, I don't see that this being them ending on any graceful note.
Why has any anime series finished well?
Honestly, now. Easy to finish.
Easy to finish.
Easy.
And easy to finish better than Digimon.
I don't know, because I don't watch Digimon. Never have, never will.
Also, I got
a huge
haven't watched
right
it in
there.
7 years.
Have you
said... You think shippers were pissed at the end of Johto when we had Misty leave? They had an ending which totally ignored all the shipping evidence that they
had up to
that point with caring their characters.
Yeah.
But, I gotta say, if and when it ends... I'm not sure what would be worse. I know what would be worse. I would be kind of kind of a little irritated if they just leave Brock without having a girl. I will be thirsty for blood if they just pair him up with a girl du jour just to not leave that hanging. Because that would be really, really stupid. I'd rather see him end up with no one at all than just pairing him up with someone for the sake of pairing him up.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Ash I know!
May not get Misty, but he will win a championship, and that will be Holiday.
I mean,
anyway.
Onesie.
And then we're going to have
Because the shipping is not a focus of the series.
Let the guest speak.
Go right ahead.
I mean, as long as he keeps kind of traveling, I suppose they can just keep ending the series and go to whatever new regions.
Got a whole world.
As long as they keep him losing in the regional championships.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is believable. I mean, how many?
I mean, he could probably win Battle Frontier, actually, and still go on and not be a master. Because he won Orange Islands, but that was a side thing.
It doesn't seem like there's a big competition at the end of Battle Frontier, just the same way there was with Orange Islands. Like, it was just a small competition of one kid trying to get a trophy. And I could kind of believe actually that he doesn't win these regional things because how many people did Brock say were entering the Hoenn League, like 200 something?
Try 500.
Yeah, and that's one regional league, so it doesn't surprise me that Ash loses a lot in these regionals.
I'd like to see him play in a national league.
That would be cool. Yes.
Yeah.
International,
back the old train, bringing back old trainers from previous.
I'd actually love to see if they're ever going to do an end. First, have him win a regional league, then work his way up to winning a national league, then at the very end, have him work his way up to winning an international league. One big grand contest to rule them all. Well, competition, right. Not contest.
Which would crown him the Pokemon master that he sought out to be on episode one.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think it would be good if they just had him say, oh, he won a regional. Okay, series over.
No, we want to see it.
We want to see him kick everyone's butt.
And that being said, though, I think that we might be able to see 700 episodes of the series.
That would be nice.
Because right now we're at, what, 447? 448? I think so.
No, 446.
Something around that.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely going to hit 500. And if it keeps going, this series might be able to break Dragon Ball's record of 576, if I recall correctly.
Dragon Ball isn't the longest series.
By
a long shot.
Well, you have yes, and you have the other series that started as manga and that was from the 1800s. An anime series was like in 1960s. So you're not gonna.
Yeah, I'm not counting things like Sazae-san. I'm thinking like modern
recent.
Focused at yeah, even recent. I'm thinking like Detective Conan.
Well, Detective Conan is almost up to PM in terms of episode numbers. I think they're about 15 behind, somewhere around there. But they had more
Detective
movies.
Conan started before Pokemon, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they started in 96 or 95, if I recall correctly.
No, it should be earlier than that.
NNT told me that it was about 95 or 96. And they've had 10, I think they had 10 or 11 movies already. So, I think in terms of longevity, if PM ever wants to beat it, it has to step up.
Yeah.
But in terms of the series, I know that there are going to be more spin-offs, and it's going to last for another 5 years because they don't want this ride to end. Because it's like having a sharp drop on a roller coaster. You just don't, because it's not a good transition. And it's just bottoming out the series like that. It wouldn't be right.
Pokemon has an advantage over a lot of other anime series in that the anime isn't based on a manga. It will not ever have a time when it's going to have to divert from some main plot line, and at that point either have to stop or go into mindless filler made by a much lower quality of writer than we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be the same team doing it every week, the same average level of quality towards the same goal.
We like continuity in our shows.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah. Anyway, back to... Now we're going to move on to 170. And in this episode, we have, of course, the rematch. And, of course, at the end, Satoshi wins. But before that, there have been very interesting aspects of the battle that I would like to talk about. My first question to you is, how can Pikachu blow out all of the lights and all of a sudden they just turn back on?
Magic. I wondered about that.
No idea.
I think he just drained the electricity and then it came back.
I think I heard glass break, though.
Well, I thought I did too. No. I thought I seen the light pop out.
Every time I try and question Pokemon physics, you just tell me it's Pokemon physics. So I have to say this time, magic. Just, it's Pokemon physics. They can do whatever
that's,
the heck
that's
they
good
want.
Enough explanation.
As long as it's not as bad as the Golden Pikachu and Swellow, so let's just be thankful for that.
Exactly.
Ash just also had Pikachu just use a Thunderbolt. He didn't say just to, burn out the lights or anything.
Well, he doesn't always give those commands, though. Like, he'll sometimes just say the attack, and he'll want them to focus on a specific spot, and somehow they'll always focus on that spot without him saying,
because
hey, attack that little...
They've only been together for, 10 years?
So they have psychic powers, then.
So he shouldn't have
had a problem with Leela.
And also to key off of that, it's amazing that Fudin went down almost immediately this time, besides the last time.
Well, Corphish...
I don't know about that.
Corphish is very hit or miss in its battles. It's if it can get its hits in, bam, it's down. But it's I don't think it's ever really shown. Has it really shown itself to be that good on defense?
Supposed to be.
I think that happened several times during Hoenn.
I think it's definitely more offensive than defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a lot better in tune this second battle. Anyways.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
So it was able to see the attacks better and dodge them and get its crab hammer up in there where before it would get blocked or miss or whatever.
Yeah.
So he knew what Ash would kind of do what he was up against. The second time
that
around.
That too, and I'm sure he talked with his Pokemon off screen, but I know I would.
But in term, in any way, in terms of battling, it was decent. I mean, it wasn't as great as Keith's battle, but
no, still. I like this battle personally.
There haven't been battles in home in Battle Frontier though. Though, like I said, if it's just to move it along, I guess it's a decent battle, but it wasn't the worst. I mean, I've seen worse.
Yeah, and we've seen better too. So.
So yeah, there's nothing else really to say about it. I mean,
well, already, aside from the friendship Ash formed with the Leela, what's her name?
Yeah,
Leela. They actually formed a true friendship versus an acquaintanceship.
Yeah.
Like trainer to gym leader or trainer to battle.
That is also
true. That's something that we usually don't see between any of the main party characters and any of the outsider characters.
Which is another thing that probably leads to that shipping thing that you guys talked about just a little while ago.
They're very shippy. I mean, I don't see it. I really don't see it lasting beyond this, but. They're undeniably very, very shippy.
Ash has got a new friend, and that's good enough for him, you know?
Yeah. Someday he'll hit puberty. Someday, like, in 27 and a half years?
Probably. He'll go screaming, "Where's Misty now?"
Oh. He's like, "Oh my god, this she was a girl!"
Yeah, the hormones will kick in one of these days.
And then he'll have Brock there to give him lessons.
No!
And
he'll be
then you're going to have Takashi with his fan and go like...
Give him lessons and screw Ash over for life. Ash is like, "Okay, now I get it. Now I'm not getting any girls who like me. What the heck happened?" Brock says, "I'm not sure."
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's about it. I think we've already touched all the bases with 169 and 170 for the most part.
Great.
And Hobbs, thank you for calling. You've been one of our most active callers, to say the least. We'll definitely consider you having on again. Maybe in a future episode we'll have you stay longer.
It'd be great.
Exactly. But, of course, there are more call-ins to do, more people to see, more things like that. So...
Okay.
So, you have any other questions, or that's about it?
I have one more. It's kind of I don't know if we touched on it. I mean, like, if Misty were to come back, like, what exactly would she do? Because, like, Kanto and Johto, she kind of just followed...
Be helpful with
I don't think she'd become a contest trainer.
It's possible
she could... become a whatever special trainer for whatever new element they add for Diamond and Pearl, depending on what that is. It wouldn't be breeding, because obviously if that was going to be in there with crossbreeding like we
they would have
faked yesterday, then that would be Brock, but
do something besides be scenery.
If she came back, she could maybe just be the token female. I mean, that's all Mei really was initially.
I'd love to have two female characters. I wish there wasn't just one token female character. I wish Pokemon would break out of the Smurfette principle and start have more than one girl on the party.
Well, hey, just spin off Kura as a separate series.
Well, yeah, like we've said before, spin it off as a separate series.
That's one of the reasons why I would love it.
A contest track and a gym
Pokemon is great,
track.
But it still follows that one little basicness of the Smurfette principle, that there's only one girl in one of the leadest parts, and that doesn't include the enemies, of course. And in there's only one girl. Unless Meowth is not telling us something.
Okay.
Well, Pikachu.
You didn't really say that, right?
Well,
we know Meowth's story. We've seen it.
Yeah, I know. I was joking. I was making a joke.
Well, all right. It was not part of the joke.
We have to stop Hobbs's call. We'd like to say thank you, Hobbs, for joining us. I'm telling you, you've been a great guest, and you've been a delight to have.
Love to have you again.
Indeed. So, okay. That being said, goodbye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Thank
you. Bye. Yeah, bye-bye.
And now, our next guest will be Nintendo Theater from Serebii Forums. So let's welcome him. Hello, Nintendo Theater. Welcome to Bubblecast.
Oh, hey.
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 Hi.
All right. Oh, hi, everybody. All right. Hey, I'm a big fan of Bubblecast, so I'm really excited to be on the show. All right. Here's my first question. In AG-170, the Battle Tower rematch episode, they announced that the Battle Tower is near Pewter City, and because of this, rumors have been spreading like all over the internet, from like Brock permanently leaving the show to Brandon becoming a member of Brock's family.
What?
Yeah, I know. Weirdest thing in the world. Rumor. Weirdest things. Well, basically, what are you...
WTF!
But, what are your takes on this? And, like, do you think any of these could really come true?
Okay,
wait. Let me say something first, Pi. I want to clarify the whole thing with the tower being at Pewter.
Pyramid!
Pyramid.
Pyramid! That's what I want to clarify first.
It's near Pewter for now. There was a big suggestion that basically the thing is mobile.
What?
Yeah, the pyramid is mobile. It's at Pewter now, but it's not there always.
Can I ask?
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
Where are you getting this from? Did they say it on the show, or is it
himself? Inshida said that it is there at the moment. It was a pretty obvious.
Who said this? Because you got to remember, it's April Fool's Day. So
Inshida said it.
He's getting it from the episode itself. I'm getting this
from the episode itself.
Really?
Yes.
But I don't see any reason why it would move. They wouldn't. I don't think they would tease us like this and say, "Okay, they're heading to Pewter." No, they're not. Ha ha. Brock fans!
Meet up with it at Pewter, almost certainly, but it's only there for now. They will see when they get there. Oh, so that's why we never saw it before. Because it's on wheels, hovercraft, whatever, and it moves around.
But I really hope that they do a Brock episode, because it's like, here they are, here's Pewter City, here's the pyramid. You draw a line from where they are to the pyramid, and you go straight through Pewter City.
And get to Brock's family.
Yes, and they denied us an episode at the beginning when they had the Ludicolo. They can't do this to us now.
Actually, that would be a really good, like, arc if they added, like, some Ludicolo episode in there.
Oh, God,
or, like,
yes.
Brock, that'd be hilarious.
Oh, God, yes.
The problem with Brock going home is that that's a potential for him to leave. They're building up for Diamond Pearl.
I'd really hate that, but...
I don't think they would do that right now. I mean, maybe they would do it after, but... I don't see them having him leave before the last competition.
No, they would have build up. I mean, they'd establish a reason for him to do that.
I really hope they don't. I mean,
not to mention, like, they've been building up Brock so much recently, like, the contest episode and the. I mean,
yes.
Like,
yes.
Get rid of May. Like, you know. It's like, keep Brock.
Yes!
You're
going to
get flamed by some of our
listeners. Come to Bubble Garden! Please, come to the forums!
I will. I'm coming,
yes!
And I'm going to...
Yes!
Like, normally I'm on Serebii, but, like, I'm trying to move, so... I don't know. I'll come to Bubble Garden. I'll support you.
You will be welcomed at the Brock Club with open arms, dude.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, good.
Problem.
I'm not the only one who does, like, loves Brock. Brock is, like, the coolest.
We have a lot of people who love Brock, and a lot of people who either hate May or just are really, really tired of her. So you're going to fit right in at Bulldog Garden.
All right.
granted, we do have people who also do who really like May.
I like May too. I'm just saying, I'd rather see May go than Brock.
Yeah, she's overdone.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's where I stand.
At least
so is Misty.
Evolve.
To be fair.
Yeah.
And I'm a poker shipper, so that sounds like... But,
there you go.
I'd love to see a new girl. Two new girls, in fact. Because
Annabelle.
Oh, I want Misty back.
I gotta say, I just, if they kept Brock and they brought, either brought both Misty and May, or they got two new girls, I would be in heaven.
Annabelle.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
I'd love that. I would honestly love that.
But also, just to do a public service announcement, since this kind of fits in, despite whatever Scott85/CyberCute said, Bulba Garden is not prejudiced against May. There are a few people who hate her, and there's no fans as militant as he is. So yeah. What?
Okay.
Yeah. And on the other hand, Sarah B. probably is a bit biased against Misty. It's a bit more excessive than...
There's a poker shipping club there, so...
Yeah.
I've never joined, but...
There's a poker shipping club everywhere. There's probably poker shipping clubs
at the local Target.
It's there's probably poker shipping clubs on non-Pokemon sites. It's like, you go to a Sailor Moon site and there's a poker shipping thread. What?
Right. Oh,
a lot of both everywhere, and it's a bit out of hand sometimes.
I gotta say this.
Kinda on the shipping note, what's the correct shipping for the Ash and Annabelle?
We don't know.
All right.
It hasn't been named yet. Yeah.
It's
people have been calling it tower shipping, and I thought that was...
Tower shipping was already taken by Ash and Rex.
Ash and Rex, exactly.
There's a possibility that this name might take over the name, and then... Or just be... The name might apply to two different ships, which has happened before, but... with
how
the
many
list these days, we tend...
I shouldn't have said
well,
that.
Well, yeah,
sorry.
There's a lot of hand shipping, but that's a more general thing. with the... Since we put the incomplete list up, I mean, when did I start it? Back in 2000. We've tried to keep names from overlapping. Unfortunately, you get a lot of people these days who see an ep go, "Oh wow, new ship!"
Yeah.
Make a name, put it up, didn't check the list.
That might be me. I did a tower shipping thing on Bulbapedia, so
yeah. I think ability shipping will probably be the standard name if that isn't already taken.
Ability shipping.
I'll check.
I'd like to check.
Kind of like that name, too.
Ability shipping. Sounds cool.
And if we can't get that, we'll find something that references being in tune with the Pokemon.
Or it could be like telekinesis shipping. If that's
ability shipping is free.
Ability shipping's free?
There you go.
There you go.
Another question?
Yeah, just one other one. It's a good discussion sparker too. Since the Battle Pyramid's gonna be up soon, a lot of people have been wondering, like, since a lot of Pokemon have been shafted recently, like Heracross and stuff, which Pokemon do you think you'd like to see on Ash's Battle Pyramid team?
Muk.
Charizard.
Muk hasn't been...
He could still pull that out. Muk is a very good possibility too.
We haven't seen... Muk, we haven't seen Kingler, we haven't seen... Bulbasaur, yes, that too.
Totodile?
Totodile, I would love to see Totodile.
That would be neat.
But Muk is one that they generally include with the group with Tauros and Heracross, and we haven't seen Muk yet.
I hope to see Tauros. I love Tauros in that last episode. Like, I was so mad that... I'm happy it tied with Metagross, but, like, it should've... I don't know.
Yeah. I love the mooing.
Yeah.
I missed that moving.
Yeah. There was a good picture that was posted up where it had, like, Tauros, and it looked exactly like a Miyazaki film. And it's, like, it's used as my little, like, profile picture on, like, on Skype, and it's hilarious.
Nice.
And it's just Tauros, like, with open eyes crying. Funniest thing in the world.
Also, there's also Snorlax that we haven't seen. Have we seen Snorlax yet?
Yeah, during the battle arena.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
I'd like to see Charizard and Muk come out. That would be great.
Or what about, like, what about that whole rumor with, like, Squirtle or whatever coming back?
I don't see that happening. I mean, I'd like to see it because, quite frankly, Ash's Squirtle was and will be much better than May's Squirtle ever will.
By all means.
Yeah, the shades versus, like, the girly flowers and stuff, that's just, you just can't beat that.
How could you beat, like, Ash's Hydro Pump? Like, that
yeah,
was...
Yeah, seriously!
Oh, coolest thing. Went in the shelf. Like, I remember that back when I was, like, 10 years old. Like, just watching that episode where it learned it. It was, like, going with Rudy back in the Orange Islands. Oh, my God. Like, such a good move. I miss Ash's Squirtle.
Ash's Squirtle is so cool. It makes me want to cry when I see May's Squirtle, because it's like, why is this... this is no continuation of the Squirtle legacy.
No, it's not. Ash's Squirtle should be used, and it should come out with his shades on.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, definitely. Comes in the battle, puts on the shades. It's like,
yep,
what now?
It would be kind of funny cool. if
I dare you.
I mean, it would make Scott go crazy, but I think it would be kind of funny if like there was kind of a bad boy good girl relationship that goes on when May Squirtle meets Ash and Bulbasaur, where it's the good girl Squirtle has like a crush on the bad boy Squirtle, and
right.
It's and the bad boy Squirtle's just like, what is your problem? Get away from
that would, like who just said the thing about Scott? Because I could see that, like with the sunglasses.
No, I was talking about Scott 85, aka, as you might know, Cybercube.
Cybercube, right,
yeah.
I tend to call him Scott, even though that does kind of cause a few problems. I should probably.
Well, not
start
to mention when I first hear Scott, I think of Alfonso on Cerebi, so like I kind of.
Yeah.
Oh yes, yeah.
I should call him Cyber.
But you know, like I know basically the ones that are set in stone are like Pikachu, Sceptile, and possibly Donphan. Maybe, possibly Swallow too. But like, a lot of people have been talking about Corphish being like overrun with either Totodile or Squirtle or Tingler. And I would like, I'd be really upset if that happens. Like, what's your opinion on that? Like, if Corphish was just out of the last match and like was replaced with Tangler or someone from Oakslap.
I gotta say,
he will replace all his guys, I think, with his old Pokemon. This whole thing has been around showing off his old Pokemon that are available in Fire Red, Leaf Green.
You know what I would like to see? Yeah. I would like to see Butterfree come back for no reason, for one episode.
And then disprove everyone who's like, Butterfree's dead. You know, he's not
That's
dead.
So mean! Pokemon don't die, they just fade away.
Well, they could die, but I can guarantee his is not dead.
They don't die, they just fade away. That was proved in the Lucario movie. They don't die, they just vanish.
I'll have to, but I have heard from other people who speak Japanese that the line was that it did. In any case, I would love to see Butterfree if it's not dead. I would love to see Squirtle.
It isn't. It faded away if possible.
I would love to see Charizard. I would love to see all his old Pokemon who we haven't seen for a while. I'd love to see Primeape being brought back.
Noctowl and Pidgeot and...
Oh, Noctowl. Like, that's actually a good topic. Is a lot of people assumed Noctowl would be, like, in the Battle Tower match because of its psychic powers that, like, helped take out Morty back in Johto, I think. Morty was his name, right?
Mm.
Is that his dub name?
Yeah.
Yeah, alright, well, anyways. Like, Noctowl, I remember, took out his Pokemon with, like, Foresight or something, and then, like, I don't know, a lot of people were assuming, since Noctowl was the telekinesis one, and the whole thing in the title was telekinesis battle, they assumed, oh, there must be Noctowl versus Alakazam, and then it ended up being Alakazam versus Corphish, with Bubble Bean.
Corphish!
Hee hee! Anyway.
Portal.
Sorry, I know.
I like Kagani's voice better.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Moving along.
Continuing.
Yes. In any case, how many people do we have? let's see.
Four.
Still, yes.
Four.
I think we still have four people waiting.
Boy.
You have any more questions, Nintendo?
Really? There was one that I had earlier, which was about the tower shipping, but I think we kind of covered it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that ability shipping. Ability shipping. There was one I had on that, only I forgot it. So I think that's about it. So
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We'll definitely consider you having to talk again. So.
All right, cool.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
All right,
thanks a lot, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hope to see you on the forums. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Once again, we love our callers and...
That was a pretty good call.
That was a good caller. I mean, he was a bit annoying before we got him in, but once he was actually in and talking, that was a very good caller.
Yes, it was.
Exactly.
I have to agree.
And
now,
I hope.
Now. Maverin Thea from PM. I have no idea where this person comes from. All I know is
never
before.
Yes.
Hello, member and dear. Welcome to Bulbacast 8.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Might your question be this week?
Question?
Yeah, question.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? What brings you to the Bulbacast?
Let's see.
Anyway, so do you have a question? Because we do have a lot of other people who want to talk, so if you don't have a question, we might have to boot you.
I guess my question would probably be, what do you see the future of Pokemon Ranger? Do you see it as having a future in, like, future anime episodes? Do you think it's one of those, you know, we'll do a movie, we'll do a special, and once the game's out and sold enough copies, then we'll just move on to something else?
Interesting question. Somehow, I think that the main series will actually focus on Diamond and Pearl, but I think there will be aspects of Pokemon Ranger, because since they would have, or they are going to have two specials already, so they're not just going to ditch that idea and a movie based on it. So maybe they'll incorporate that into another series. I mean, you have Team Go-Go in the next series.
Yeah, it could be an eventual spin-off, or it may just be a bunch of recurring characters. Or even kind of how they handled Aqua Magma in the Hoenn season.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a lead-in as it's in the games, you know, the path to Diamond and Pearl. So it could be like an
That's a potential, too. They could have a mini-season after Battlefront.
Leading into Diamond and Pearl.
I gotta say, while ago, I was optimistic about the Ranger thing affecting the series. In fact, I kind of spun a theory that maybe Ash would get a little change of direction and become a Ranger, because I could personally see that a lot. But since then, I've actually kind of dropped a lot of my hopes that Ranger's going to have a major impact on the series. And I mean, I think it would be nice if it did have more of a role in the series. But I can't really say I expect it to. So, I mean, would be fun if it did, though. Definitely.
Yeah, if it has an impact in the series, it's going to be minor.
Unfortunately, I still think it would be awesome if Ash became a Ranger. I mean, I also was thinking of Ranger in the just in the more general sense that we saw in the games before Ranger, not the one that has the little top toy.
Yeah, maybe May will become the Ranger, and we'll get rid of her that way.
Well, that'd be funny.
She won't.
Not likely.
Rock could become a Ranger or even Misty, but May won't. They've established her as contests.
I think with that suggestion, we're going to see a lot of DeviantArt things on May looking like a.
I also got to say that
cool,
just as May is established as a coordinator, I think even though he doesn't do much about it, Brock's been pretty well established as a breeder, and I think that
I don't see that changing.
Yeah. I think we're actually most likely, if we're going to have Ranger incorporated into any of the main characters anyway, it's going to be a new character completely. Or
no,
maybe
they'll just bring in Hinata.
Or actually, they don't seem to like having Max keep any Pokemon. Maybe they'll just give him the toy to play with, to command Pokemon for like one episode and then lose them, like he always does.
What, Mini Ranger?
Mini Ranger! Yes, Max the Mini Ranger. That would be cute. Max the Mini Ranger.
Well, he is the techno geek, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just a geek in general.
So that would, you know, kind of really work with him to have the Ranger tools and whatnot.
Yeah, next thing we know, we're gonna see Think Geek products on Massive Toys. Mm.
Oh, God.
Next we'll see Toho Sensei Poke Ranger. Sentai.
Yes.
Sentai series based on Ranger. That's that'll be fun.
That's just wrong.
That's just wrong, yeah. No.
And it's so wrong that it... I mean, just with the uniforms of Go-Go Dan, I could actually envisage something like that being created,
God.
And that's just scary.
the sad thing is, so could I.
Mm. I'm not ready.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think...
On that note...
Yeah, I think we've already touched the bases on that, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Any other questions?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
And we'll try to get you on again at a later date. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Right.
Bye.
Well, I guess then they would make Team Rocket the good guys, because they'd be the ones bringing in the giant mecha to fight off the evil forces.
Mm-hmm.
Should we spill the beans now?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. As you've all probably guessed by now, yesterday's special edition Bulbacast was a big, huge sham. The stories we tacked on at the end were all from Pocket Annie. They were actually stories put up on their site. They were, however, fake stories made for April Fool's Day. As for the Pokemon Diamond and Pearl stuff, well, we made that up.
And people actually bought it, sorry.
Yes, a lot of you actually bought it, and we had a lot of fun.
Yes,
I do actually have a list of all those names that we said yesterday, so I'm going to tell you where they all came from. Porygon 3 was a fake name that we put in because it sounded realistic and hoped it would throw off the scent. Uso Daio literally means this is a lie. Nisemono, fake. Uzuki is an old Japanese word for April. Tsuitachi is an old Japanese... it's not old Japanese. It's the way to say the first when referring to a day in the month. So Uzuki, Tsuitachi, April the 1st. Dechiage. Now, I'm pretty sure that was also something meaning fake. Where was it? And I had it 1 second ago. In any case, that one was another fake. Whatever. Cthulhu was the Japanese way of saying Cthulhu. I think at least some of our listeners should recognize that one. Kanak. That was actually one Zen put in there, so I'm not sure if I have that written down here. I don't have that one, sorry. Fluffy was another fake one that we put in, intentionally meant to sound like other Japanese names for evolutions. And Obaba. How many of you caught this one? Because this was the giveaway.
I did!
Mostly everybody in the know of the Japanese series got that one. Of course, that's referring to the Obaba from episodes 18 and 19. Of course, that would be... Yep.
As the English know her, Nastina.
Mm-hmm. Who's that Pokemon? Nastina?
I cracked up when I heard that. That was a great one.
It was indeed an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, we did have it. Yeah, the features were all just pulled off lists of what people wanted to see in their Diamond and Pearl. The speculation that we did on all that was real speculation on how that might be handled if it was real. The name of the region did mean Mirage, but that was
pulled out of
made
thin air.
Up. Yeah, we just pulled the name out of a dictionary and. No connection to the episodes. Don't think that just because they've got those Mirage episodes that they will have this is the name of the region, because, all made up. Sorry.
You got fooled.
It was April Fool's Day. We're not going to do something like this on a non-April Fool, so you don't have to worry about our credibility. Lovely day.
And that just about wraps it up for Bulbacast episode number 8. I'd like to thank the call-ins for tonight. Nintendo Theater, Hobbs 2222, Maverinthia, and not to mention RG. And I'd also like to thank the participants of this cast, Archaic Pi and PPN Steve. I am TSS Killer. Once again, I say to you, good night, everyone.
Yeah, man. You know.
きっといけるはずさ